Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, chronicling the wrestling industry since 1987. Also, editor of PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, and host of this, the PW Torch Livecast. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. Yesterday, I hosted the Post-Raw show solo. Had some great callers, mostly VIP members, and some good emails, too. If you haven't listened to that show yet, check it out. A lot happened on Raw last night. We had a lot to chew on, and we had a lot to reflect on from the night before at the Rumble. That also available on the livecast feed and at pwtorchlivecast.com, the home website for this show, where you can find out about future shows, when they're scheduled, who's going to be on, and also on demand, listen or download prior shows. Speaking of our schedule, tomorrow is the midweek flagship at 1 p.m. Eastern, which is 10 a.m. Pacific time. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joins me, and he's making his usually every 3 week appearance, and we got a lot to talk about this week. Look forward to getting his thoughts on everything going on and his knowledge, what word on the street is on where things are headed in the Elimination Chamber, Fastlane, and WrestleMania. A lot of possibilities out there. I'm sure Jason will have a lot of opinions and perhaps some information on why things are going the way that they are going. And then Thursday, Drew McIntyre, joins me on the PW Torch Livecast Interview Thursday, making his second appearance. His first appearance several years back, right after he left WWE, was a tremendous interview. And I'm excited to have him back on the program. We'll talk about what's up with him, with pending free agency, what he's thought of his time in TNA, will it continue, and also his thoughts on the Royal Rumble and where WWE's gone since he was a big part of the show, including being a big part of SmackDown, the show that we're here to talk about today. Thursday night, the discussion will be TNA Impact. Live as soon as TNA Impact goes off the air, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek take over the host and co-host chair here at the livecast and talk TNA Impact as soon as the show goes off the air. Join them live at pwtorchlivecast.com. Taking your calls, talking about highlights from the show, some TNA trivia, some TNA history, and mostly, hopefully, some good conversation with each other and, of course, callers if you are able to participate. You can also send emails about the show and about the TNA brand and the Impact Wrestling show in general ahead of time, even if you can't listen live on Thursday nights. Our email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. On today's show, Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, joins me. Pat, you were on the midweek show last week. We talked about a lot of stuff. Tonight we're here to mostly talk about SmackDown and look ahead to Elimination Chamber. Welcome back to the livecast.
Thank you, Wade. Hello, you people. Good to be back.
Excellent. Pat, what's the vibe coming out of tonight's SmackDown regarding the follow-up to the Royal Rumble? Did they produce the show with some storyline forwarding angles and happenings that turn the page well in both respecting what happened at the Rumble and then building up Elimination Chamber and Mania? Do you think they get a good grade for that, or do they come up short?
They got most of it right. I liked them setting up continuing the two main women's feuds, which are Alexa Bliss and Naomi, and Becky Lynch and Mickie James. We're going to get Natalya and Nikki at Elimination Chamber because I guess we have to have some undercard matches. Elimination Chamber right now feels very much like it's going to be a one match show, especially with the Intercontinental Champion in there as well as Styles and Cena. Yeah, there's not going to be a big secondary match. Let's see. The one thing that I was not excited about was the direction of the SmackDown Tag Team Division. which appeared to be, hey, we got a bunch of guys we haven't done anything with. Go out there and fight. And looks like they're setting up for, I guess, Heath Slater and Rhino getting another crack at American Alpha, which will be interesting, I suppose. I do like that they're going back to Slater and Rhino. I just don't know. I just don't see any. Let's see if they have chemistry, these four guys.
I'm hoping that American Alpha beat Slater and Rhino, and it's a setup for the Usos to get a push. It feels like the Usos are in the doghouse. I'm kind of hoping there's not a good reason for it, and they're just kind of keeping them in the background until heating them up. I would like to see American Alpha and the Usos have a match that gets some decent buildup starting next week at Elimination Chamber. But did they announce that Rhino and Slater are fighting for the belts at the Chamber, or are they going to have the match next week on SmackDown? Because that I don't think I'm clear.
I don't think they announced either way.
That's okay. Then that's why I'm not clear. So what I'm kind of hoping is what I said. Rhino and Slater. Rhino and Slater lose next week, and the Usos step up and actually get the title shot.
That'd be fun.
Now, that said, I'm a fan of Slater and Rhino. I just don't think there's great. It does a lot for American Alpha to be against them in a high profile pay per view match. So I'd rather have the Usos get that spot. And then I don't dread these brand specific pay per views in the sense that a lot of wrestlers get pushed off a show as loaded as a Rumble, even at almost 4 hours for the main show.
Right.
And heck, even when you count the pre show. I just want them to have time to do a good job getting me excited about the feuds. And really, Nikki and Natalya, they've done a nice job with. I mean, yes, it's not co-headline material, but I have to give them credit. I mean, they're not just throwing that together. This has been being built for weeks with the intent of having a match culminate or a feud culminate in a match at the SmackDown-only pay-per-view. I give them some credit for thinking long-term in this regard.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. That is going to be one of the highlights of this. What really bothers me, and it bothered me Sunday night, is, I mean, Jordan and Gable are the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. As far as I know, neither one of them is injured, and yet they couldn't find any place for them at the Royal Rumble at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what would you have taken a match that was on the show off and then what's that risk is, do you end up diminishing the tag belts by having them in a show where they look like an afterthought as opposed to just not being on the show at all? I guess I'd rather be featured prominently and given some breathing space to be featured and have it seem important than just be thrown out there in a throwaway match on the pre-show.
No, I would have put them in the Rumble and maybe left out James Ellsworth and Jack Gallagher.
Okay. Well, then people would be complaining there's no comedy. Well, I guess Gable and Jordan were actually kind of funny tonight. They're getting back to there.
I don't think people would have been complaining about a lack of comedy during the Rumble.
All right. Very good. Our phone number, if you want to join the show and join the conversation, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We're live watching 205 Live right now. Looks like
Lindsay Dorado against Tony Nese. Yeah.
Yeah, not the main event yet, of course. But they Tony Nese looking muscular out there. I don't know. Anyway, I just don't want to get mesmerized by the action. Let's get back to the show. I'll keep my eye on things over there. Give us a call, and we're going to go to our first break right here at the 10-minute mark. When we come back, we'll start rolling through phone calls. Here's some word about our sister site, MMAtorch.com. Dana White today with some newsworthy comments about the future of Ronda Rousey, the wording he used regarding her future and what she'll be doing, I think is noteworthy. And also a big name from UFC's past just announced for Bellator. Somebody with a lot of fights and a lot of history in UFC just announced for Bellator show coming up in 3 weeks on February 18th in San Jose on Bellator 172. We also have a new column up just a few minutes ago on the site, our weekly media and business column, looking at the business side of UFC and how they lack big draws right now who are active and healthy. And what does that mean? And can they rebound? And he pulls from history and talks about whether, columnist Robert Vejos talks about whether there is a precedent for UFC creating stars under these circumstances, and is there a pattern to it or not? Some good analysis there. We also have a 5 years ago editorial by Jason Amati, who, by the way, happens to have a column on pwtorch.com today about the John Cena AJ Styles promo last week on SmackDown. But 5 years ago, he wrote a column on USC on Fox for MMAtorch.com talking about how viewers still haven't truly seen an exciting fight, and USC is partially to blame. So some good stuff on MMAtorch.com today. Check it out if you're an MMA fan, if you're a UFC and Bellator fan. Good stuff you won't find anywhere else, and that Daily News Digest is a really efficient way to stay up on the headlines. Everything that you really need to know to stay up on MMA is there every single day with some analysis on top of the right below the top story, and then some notebook items keeping you up to date on some of the smaller stuff. So check that out. Here's some details on our sister brand. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMAtorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMAtorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMAtorch.com. I'm Wade Keller. This is the PW Torch livecast, Tuesday post-SmackDown edition. I'm joined by PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil, and we are going to begin taking your phone calls, getting your thoughts on the SmackDown side of the Royal Rumble fallout and the hype for the Elimination Chamber. And we're going to begin with Alberto from Orlando, Florida. Alberto, thanks for calling tonight. What have you got for us?
Hey, what's up, Wade?
Not too much. And Pat.
I had two questions. One, you guys kind of talked about it already, about the tag team titles. I just feel like since American Alpha won, SmackDown hasn't been really doing anything with them. I mean, I think it was like 2 weeks they weren't even on television.
Yeah.
So I mean, are they still a big deal? Are they just an afterthought? And how long do you think they're going to keep the titles?
Well, I have heard rumblings that Vince wasn't sold on them. And that could be part of it. It also could just be they looked at the Rumble lineup and said, we don't have room for them. We don't want to put the tag champs in the Rumble and have them just get tossed out and not look serious. Let's just wait till after the Rumble and then put some focus on them, and a match will seem a little fresher on Elimination Chamber. Pat, it could be a combination of all those things, too. Your thoughts on expanded thoughts on that, I guess.
Well, I think the other problem is what we saw tonight. I mean, look at the challengers that they have for them. The Usos, Slater and Rhino, and the Geek Squad, the Ascension, the Vaudevillains, Fandango and Tyler Breeze. There's basically two challengers. They've done American Alpha versus the Usos already since the brand split, I guess, and they'll probably have to go back to that. And like Wade said, I don't think American Alpha versus Rhino and Slater is really a long-term program.
Alberto, anything else?
Yeah, it's quite obvious it kind of looks like it's going to be Bray and Randy for the title at WrestleMania, but I was wondering... For the IC title, are we going to see another ladder match at WrestleMania, or do you think they might stay away from that and do maybe a Dean versus Corbin?
Dean and Corbin? It's a ways off, Pat. What do you think?
I can see them doing Dean and Corbin, but I think by the time they get there with how packed the card's going to be, they're going to talk themselves into another ladder match. Unless they do the ladder match for the U.S. title instead. No, they're not going to do that. It'll probably be, I'm guessing, another ladder match.
Yeah, that kind of gets my vote too. Not like endorsement, but my vote of what's more likely to happen. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, part of it's just how are there any injuries? How deep does that lineup get with money matches? And then there comes a point where you've just got to go all in. You got to get a bunch of guys in one match in order to try to. Sell or give the wrestlers who you think deserve a spot on WrestleMania a chance to be on it. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal serves that purpose for the prelim guys. Yeah. And then the IC title match might be where some of the bigger names who just kind of are left on the outside looking in a spot. Alberto, anything else?
Last thing, Wade, sure. John Cena, like, Everybody thought it was going to be Cena versus Undertaker. That's not happening. I really thought it was going to be Cena versus Samoa Joe. That's not happening. So, what do you guys think it's in plans? The plans are for Cena at Mania.
Pat, we haven't heard from you since the Rumble. Well, we heard from you Sunday night on the Rumble. We haven't heard from you since Raw last night and SmackDown tonight. How is that shaping up now that you kind of see all the pieces are falling into place?
Have they stopped negotiating with Conor McGregor? I don't see the obvious opponent for Cena. I mean, maybe it's Corbin. I'm not sure. Maybe they can do another Cena versus Styles match, because I don't think they have an opponent lined up for Styles. Although they seem to be taking steps tonight.
Money.
No. They seem to be taking steps tonight to. I mean, Cena's talk sounded a little like they're starting the babyface turn for AJ. But I don't know. I mean, I'm open minded.
I'm hesitant to read too much into hints because, I mean, every week it seems like there's some hint that Reigns is turning heel or Cena's turning heel. But Cena putting Styles over like that, and having, you know, Miz and Corbin out there being more obnoxious certainly than AJ has been lately, it's not going to be hard to turn AJ babyface. If they turn AJ babyface, Pat, who's the right WrestleMania opponent for him? Because I think some of us were thinking, well, that would be good for Samoa Joe then to come in as a heel and, you know, maybe cost AJ the Elimination Chamber or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of ways you can do it, and Joe would be a heel and they'd renew their storied feud. Who is out there for Styles on the roster if Styles were to turn babyface for him to face that's WrestleMania worthy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's Joe, and that's a possibility because I think Seth Rollins and Joe will be done before WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
Let me think. But, well, it is WrestleMania season, but you know what I mean. My thought was, when's Finn Balor coming back? How close is he to being ready? Because I think people would be interested.
I would too. But that's keeping AJ heel and Finn coming back as a babyface.
Yeah, that is a problem there.
And then you have the brand issue, which always trips me up too. I mean, they can always explain that away. They can trade Jack Swagger back for Finn Balor because.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Stephanie's probably bitter about that trade not working out. So, or the free agent signing, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, Cena and Styles are the two bigger mysteries. We got Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor out there as kind of X factors. They might put Baron Corbin against a newly turned babyface AJ. They might put Baron Corbin against John Cena, or there's still talk of Shane McMahon. I mean, talk meaning speculation of, you know, maybe Shane and AJ will go at it, and that'll be their way of giving AJ kind of a quote big name opponent.
Well,
people won't be happy with it. They want to see AJ in a great match, including me, but it's a McMahon, so therefore they're paying respect to AJ. Yeah, Pat.
Well, if Shane wrestles AJ and it's a regular match, what's Shane going to jump off of?
I know. There is that.
Yeah.
Alberto.
Kane. Okay. Kane will come back. That'll be it. That'll
oh,
be
God.
It. There we go. AJ Styles versus Kane.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Alberto, any closing words?
No, that's pretty much it. I'll be at the NXT tapings tomorrow, so hopefully it's good because NXT's kind of dying down, in my opinion.
Would you have the ability to send us results from a phone as the show goes on?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll be able to.
Okay. Yeah, whatever works for you. We'd love to get results. I mean, obviously, we'd love to get results and keep people informed of that stuff as it happens. So if you're able to do that, please do. But either way, be sure to have fun at the show. Thanks, Alberto. By the way, that's a good chance to sneak in the plug, pwtorch@gmail.com. If you attend any show, we love to get results. Don't worry about, I mean, if you can write well for us, edit it nicely, it saves us time, but don't worry about it. I mean, just, we want to get results. We want, if you attend a show, we want to know what you think. We want to document it on our site and get the results up. We get results from most shows, but not all shows. Every once in a while, we get two or three reports from one show, but don't assume someone else is going to do it. Send us a report at pwtorch@gmail.com. And it's one of the things we're proud of historically that we have dating back to the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter in the late 1980s, where we've got three decades of running results of house shows written by fans at the arenas, giving their impression of what happened in their details. and you can be part of that history and perhaps make it in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter that week also when we run the results and have it be documented in a way that's a little more permanent than just something that goes up on a social media feed or on a website and rolls off the page and doesn't get indexed like a lot of sites do. When you submit your report to us, it kind of is part of documenting history. So we love when you do that, and we appreciate the effort that it takes. Let's. I want to go to an email before we go to another call. This comes from Brandon. Okay. I want to give a little. We got a lot of people on hold, but I want to give some credence to people who do send in emails and let them know you're not being ignored. He says this isn't so much a question as it is a comment. I realize this has been discussed probably at length before, but I can't help but call attention to JBL's commentary during Carmella's squash match tonight. His constant degradation of James Ellsworth is bad enough, but it comes off as particularly egregious when he starts referring to a woman as a blue thing. Beyond the moral objections, it also just completely undermines the purpose of the segment, which I presume is to get Carmella over. By dismissing her opponent with such conviction to the point of turning her into comedy, it eliminates any credibility Carmella might receive, even if she makes short work of her. It's amazing that representatives of the anti-bullying community that WWE seems to associate themselves with so proudly haven't seen clips like this and spoken up. Interested to hear your thoughts on an otherwise solid SmackDown during the live cast and VIP hotline. Pat, I think WWE's anti-bullying organization is internal. And so the same person at the top making the decision to instruct JBL to make knee slap and hilarious fun of anybody who doesn't reach the absolute perfection that JBL does in humanity is the same person who dictate whether that violates their Be a Star campaign. Pat, are they going too far, or is this the renowned PC police not getting a joke?
They are going I would be fine with it if JBL ever got his comeuppance ever, but we know that's not going to happen. The heels are supposed to act like heels, yes, but you know but the whole idea is that good prevails, and at least at the announce desk, good doesn't really prevail in WWE. The only thing they can do is if they add a few more babyface announcers, and they can set up the set like the Hollywood Squares, and they can all pile on JBL.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that bugs me is there's not somebody out there to talk about JBL's man boobs or, geez, JBL, you know, when they do an action figure.
Or his screenshots.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of ways you can go with it. Or, JBL, when they made your action, when they made your action figure, they put someone else's body on it because they didn't have a model that was that flabby. I mean, it's like there's nobody making fun of JBL in return. And The heel who's making fun of James Ellsworth, who, by the way, as somebody on Twitter pointed out, has a physique that probably most 30-something guys would aspire to as the after picture for their New Year's resolution trips to the gym. And so how does that make the average fan feel out there that this Ellsworth, who's pretty cut, pretty muscular, born without a pronounced chin, is now this horrible person worthy of derision and mocking in a really heavy-handed fashion? I'm fine with JBL making fun of James Ellsworth's clothes. And I'm fine with JBL.
That would have been fine.
And I'm fine with JBL questioning Carmella's motivations and saying, I think she's leading him on and I love it or I hate it. But to pick on Ellsworth just because of his chin or his physique, which is just fine except for the world of who's Rusev's part? Jinder Mahal. You know, like, except in a world where people look like that. I mean, so that there is a way. So when I say, I say sort of facetiously, is this a PC police? There's a way to do it with some nuance and sophistication where you're making fun of choices people make or questioning the motivations of the heel. And you can do so effectively. JBL makes fun of Ellsworth trying to, dress a certain way. And then David Otunga goes, you know what I'm upset with is Carmella clearly is not interested in this guy. You can tell that she's out. She's going to humiliate him again.
Yeah,
she's using him. She's going to humiliate him. That's the approach to take. But the blue thing, I don't find it entertaining.
Delilah Doom. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What are they?
Who they've used before? I mean, she was on Raw under a different name. But yeah, I mean, she's a female wrestler with a different look. And apparently that deserves some sort of abuse, I guess.
And I think there's just a feeling with Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon that it's really entertaining when JBL picks on people who look different or who choose to, you know, dress a certain way. I mean, my God, make fun of Fandango and Tyler Breeze. They're choosing to dress that way. You know, they're choosing to dress like the village people.
Or the vaudevillains.
Yeah, make fun of the vaudevillains because they're choosing to do this weird throwback gimmick and you know, try to crack that nut and figure out what's going on. I mean, there's things you can make fun of, but come on. So, no, I'm with you, Brandon. Yeah. And the frustrating part is there's a way to do it. You know, there's a way to do it and make fun of Ellsworth's choice of clothes and the fact that he won't shut up and the fact that he's naive and doesn't know that he's being used and that he'll cling to the first person who gives him any kind of attention. But, yeah, anyway. All right. So let's go next to Doug from New York City. You're up next, and Jay from Tampa, you're on deck. Go ahead, Doug. What have you got for Pat and me today?
Hey, Wade and Pat, how's it going, guys? I just was thinking, well, I thought it was a great, great SmackDown in general, following up from the Rumble. And I'm thinking that it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion in my head that Cena won't retain at Elimination Chamber, because he's been doing really great work, and he got a tremendous reaction, pretty much the strongest babyface reaction I've heard him get in a very long time. And even though Elimination Chamber is kind of an obvious place for Bray Wyatt to take the championship, which, you know, there's a lot of room for funny finishes and lights going out, and weird people showing up, maybe even a new member of the Wyatt family, something like that to happen. I feel like with the rhetoric of an endless cycle that needs to be broken basically between Randy Orton and Cena that was put forth in the promo tonight, I think there's still a possibility that McMahon wants to go with maybe the final blow off of this endless feud between Cena and Orton that's lasted for years and years. I don't feel great about that option, but I still feel like it's out there. Do you guys think there's a better chance that Cena will retain, or maybe you saw some evidence that Cena might retain the title at Elimination Chamber?
I mean, the evidence is that he's John Cena and he loses very rarely. And I can see the argument that Cena and Orton is, you know, even though they haven't done it in a couple of years, and still is a bigger match than Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. I like Bray Wyatt, but the way they booked him, I just don't see it. I don't see him in a WrestleMania main event. If they do that match for the title, they're going to be what, fourth, fifth from the top?
Well, you're going to headline WrestleMania. You won the Rumble. More than a title shot, all they say over and over is you're going to headline WrestleMania. I don't know how they get out of that. I mean, that's the line that's repeated more than anything, is the winner of the Royal Rumble goes on to headline WrestleMania, goes on to main event WrestleMania. They don't say you get a title shot. They implied it finally tonight on SmackDown. They finally implied that, yeah, that headlining thing includes getting a title shot. I don't understand what they are why they're choosing that language, and if it's some sort of cover for some sort of post-Elimination Chamber twist. I would not rule out John Cena retaining the title and facing Randy Orton. I think if they go that way, I start to lean towards more of a four-way match where Bray and AJ find their way into it, and they just decide to go with the four-way match. And the idea being that it puts AJ and Cena in a big match, but also has the intrigue of, will Randy and Bray work together or not? And they can just build that and therefore have room for another singles match on the show, because it's looking like it's going to be a pretty loaded show in terms of just quantity of big matches. But I'm not usually for four-way matches. I'm not here unless it's a choice between that and something really bad for AJ and really bad for Cena instead. And then you just sometimes have to make a tough choice.
Well, the other option, Wade, is 5-hour WrestleMania, 3-hour kickoff show.
I know. And there comes a point there where...
Oh, I wish I was kidding.
Yeah, I know. Doug, any follow-up or additional topics?
Yeah, I think it's a really great point, Wade, about the potential of a four-way match being the sort of way out of the Randy Orton choice, which is now a few days removed, seeming like kind of like a weight on the WrestleMania main event scene. In my opinion, you know, I think Randy Orton has his great qualities, but he also has his limitations. And I just had one more quick question. This Dolph and Apollo Crews feud that's sort of, you know, developing, who is that? Which of those two is that designed to benefit? Crews is a great talent, but he's so mid-card jobber world to me right now. And I just am wondering, is this another Dolph Ziggler rehabilitation feud, or is it? Are we putting a little gas, you know, on the fire for Apollo Crews?
Good question. I think both right now are mid-card. I think Ziggler's on his way down, and Cruz may be on his way up. But this feud will tell us something, Pat. If the idea is Ziggler's there as a gatekeeper to help elevate Cruz, or is Cruz there to see how he does, but ultimately give Ziggler a little much-needed boost if they still have hope for Ziggler to mean something?
I think it's there because they need undercard matches for Elimination Chamber. I don't think they have any plans beyond that.
Do you think that Ziggler will come out of it looking better, or Cruz will come out of it looking better, or will it just be a wash?
I think it'll be a wash.
Yeah. I mean, I think Pat might be onto something, Doug, which is it's a match they put together without a lot of thought or care about whether Ziggler or Cruz comes out of it looking all that much better. I still have hope for Apollo Cruz to be something, but I don't have this clear path getting there, but I think there's enough there that they should work to figure it out. I think the ship has sailed on Ziggler. I think he's a middle second tier guy, and I'd want him on my roster in that spot as a heel, better than a babyface. But I mean, I'm glad he's not in the Elimination Chamber. I was relieved to hear that.
Absolutely.
All right, Doug, anything else?
No, that's it, guys. Thanks so much, and have a great show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for contributing. Sure. Noam Dar. Pat, what do you think of Noam Dar? He's kind of, I would call it a guilty pleasure. I just get a kick out of his accent, his bravado in going after Alicia Fox the way he does. He's a guy who walks to the ring. You know, I say this about when Seth Rollins was a heel. I didn't like the video they produced of him when he was out that made him this inspirational comeback king. I wanted to think that I haven't used this example in a while. When Seth went to the DMV every year, everyone saw him coming at the DMV office and went, "Oh no, not this guy again." Like, I want to believe he is that guy 24/7. And I don't want any headwind. I don't want anything that conflicts with that, because he's so good at being that sniveling goat laughing heel. Noam Dar, same thing. I believe this character. I haven't tracked down his social media posts. I don't know if he contradicts it like, you know, others do out there who are on the roster. Noam Dar is so convincing in this character. I believe that if you went to a city where WWE was and you happened to go out on the town that night, Noam Dar would be out there hitting on women who he believes he is above, but they would believe isn't in their league. And he would do it unabashedly. He would do it without any sense that maybe he's not God's gift to women, and people would be observing that and perhaps laugh. I buy into his act. He's so all in, and I get a kick out of it. And it's kind of, like I said, kind of a guilty pleasure on the 205 Live Cruiserweight division. Your thoughts on Noam Dar's persona and how he carries himself?
Oh yeah, if I'm WWE, I love that this guy has taken a silly premise for his character and just run with it. And it's probably just as well that he's on the cruiserweight division so that JBL is not making fun of the way he looks. Also, earlier, I do want to get this in the match previous to this on 205. Akira Tozawa defeating Aaron Solo. If you don't know who Aaron Solo is, that's Bayley's fiance. His first appearance on 205 Live.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, we're watching Jack Gallagher walk to the ring right now. Pat, what's Gallagher's upside in the cruiserweight division? Is he somebody who can counter Neville and be a top babyface attraction? I said on Twitter tonight, when someone brought him up in response to something I'd said about him on, I think, a Weight Killer Hotline for VIP members this weekend, I see Gallagher more kind of like a Dean Ambrose. He's not quite the right act to be the centerpiece of a division, but he's a really good, third from the top act that can draw people to the TV screen and be a real good, better than utility player, but not the centerpiece act. That's kind of where I have him. And part of it is I think people judge him when he comes out because he's pale, wears a striped outfit, walks funny, does his gimmick. But when he wrestles, that's where he goes above his gimmick. He rises above where the vaudevillains haven't done with their kind of silly gimmick. There's a level where you're kind of surprised by what he can do in the ring.
Yeah, I think we're talking about commentary before. I think it really helps that Corey Graves is out there being a fan of Gallagher and taking him seriously and countering Austin Aries when Austin does his heel commentary.
Great point.
I think that's just Yeah, I mean, I think that helps him a lot. I think Gallagher's the glue guy. He's, you know, he's one of the guys you can put out there on the mid card, and he'll be important if they start running 205 live house shows, which they won't.
Yeah, and I think he can be. To me, he's kind of in between mid card. I think people see him as a mid carder. I'm arguing he's above that. I don't see Dean Ambrose as a mid carder. I see him as your number three or number two babyface at any given time. That's what I'm wondering: is Gallagher, with what he can do in the ring, in that division, more than a mid carder?
Okay, he's an upper mid carder, but he's an upper mid carder on 205 Live, where all the 205 Live guys are treated as enhancement guys.
Yeah. I mean, Neville's not jobbing out. I wouldn't say that on Raw they're treated as enhancement guys. I would say it's just the division hasn't gained traction yet. But I think they've done a decent job protecting the cruiserweights. It's not like Kalisto's a contender on 205 Live while jobbing on the main shows.
Yeah, that's fair. Although Kalisto would probably do pretty well on the show.
Well, had he not been jobbed out to Ziggler, who's a mid-carder. All right, let's go to our bottom of the hour break here. We're way later than usual, or way later than we're supposed to be on this, but we'll be back right after this word from a sponsor. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. All right, we're back. This is the PW Torch livecast Tuesday night edition following WWE SmackDown tomorrow, the midweek flagship edition of the livecast. I'll be hosting with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. That is destination listening every 3 weeks. So check that out live if you can or on demand. And then Thursday, Drew Galloway joins me on Interview Thursday live at 1 Eastern. And we'll talk not only about TNA and his future career, where he is headed, but also his thoughts on the state of WWE and some Royal Rumble fallout, which I know that he watched. So we'll have a good show there on Thursday also. And then Thursday night, Mike and Andrew host the post-Impact show right after Impact goes off the air right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And the week closes out with Bruce Mitchell with Primetime Friday and his co-host of the week. All right, Pat McNeil is my guest tonight. We're talking SmackDown, and I said that Jay from Tampa was up next, so let's go ahead and bring Jay onto the program. Jay, what have you got for us tonight?
Hey, guys. I was laughing at you guys talking about JBL, because I'm almost certain that they called him Pigeon Toe Layfield in school. Did you happen to get what Corbin said to Miz at the announce table when he said only 1% of people ever play in the NFL?
Yeah, well, out of every 100 friends I have, one of them has played in the NFL.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, what's the percentage of people ever becoming WWE champion? But you always know Miz always going to have a good comeback. I had two things for you guys tonight. One I want to ask you guys is, have you noticed any kind of a parallel or comparison between what we've been getting from Orton and Bray, kind of like two people that are put together? One may potentially have a title and one may potentially come for that title. And then we look over on Raw and somewhat get the same thing between Jericho and Orton, where Owens.
Where
one has the title and friends, and another one may potentially be coming for. The odds of us getting two parallel matches like that with two parallel histories potentially at WrestleMania is kind of interesting. But one other thing I want to point out that I usually get on WWE about is kind of not sticking to storylines sometimes, just letting things fall through the cracks. But One thing I noticed in the Rumble the other night was you had to really been paying attention, in my opinion, to Raw and SmackDown even before the brand split to come up with that when Braun Strowman came out and then Sami Zayn and then Dean Ambrose and then Ellsworth. I mean, all of those kind of had a tie-in between Braun and what he did to Ellsworth before, you know, when he jobbed him out. And then, of course, Sami Zayn and Dean Ambrose with Ellsworth. I thought that was kind of interesting because normally, in my opinion, they don't really stick to stuff. But I kind of thought that you had to have known that history in the last, what, maybe 6-7 months to know where they went with that, where they got that from. So I was trying to get you guys' take on that.
Pat, go ahead and take that.
Yeah, I really like when you know, I like when shows and I like when, you know, regular TV shows reward the people who've been paying close attention to it by, you know, by following through on storylines or things that seem like throwaways. And I like WWE doing it. You know, I mean, plus if you didn't know that Braun Strowman was the guy who killed James Ellsworth in Ellsworth's first WWE match, you know, I'm pretty sure that they mentioned it on commentary. But it's a nice touch, and I like it. As for the parallel storylines, I mean, Wade, you remember during the last brand split, they would actually do the same storylines on Raw as they were doing on SmackDown, except just use different wrestlers.
Right.
I mean, there was a period of a year or so where they were doing that. So
do any examples come to mind? Refresh my memory, Pat. I remember that being the case, but I'm trying to recall any specifics. You sometimes are pretty good at that.
Now I'm trying to recall it too, but I remember there were parallel storylines a lot back in the previous.
Well, that would even happen between TNA and sometimes WWE, which was also weird.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it seemed like TNA was writing stuff that was copied after WWE, and then WWE writers would go, "Oh yeah." And then, you know, they'd take something that TNA did and kind of put their own spin on it. Sometimes it can be unconscious. You know, sometimes songwriters are accused of stealing riffs off of other songs. And sometimes it's just, you know, of course, if you are an artist, a musician, you listen to music. And sometimes something is in your brain and it comes out a month later and you don't realize where it came from. And I don't know how much of that was going on with Raw. And certainly I suspect that was somewhat the case with TNA and WWE a few years back.
Right. Well, a lot of it also had to do with the same writers were writing both shows, and my understanding was that Vince McMahon wasn't too, you know, didn't care about coming up with unique storylines for each brand at one point. They did that at the start of the brand split, not so much as we got like 4 or 5 years into it. The other thing I would like to say, you know, referencing the comment Baron Corbin made, if I had a dime for every play that Baron Corbin played in an actual NFL game, I would have 0 dimes.
Well, and I think that's the interesting dynamic of Corbin and Miz going at it. You don't – one of the ways to sell a multi-person match is, are the heels going to be in it together? And certainly they are not taking that angle here. They're making us, as viewers, choose between Miz and Corbin and or at least understand that they're going to, you know, maybe self-destroy – they're going to destroy each other because they're not going to be able to coexist. Yeah, I mean, with Miz, sometimes you feel like he's like, bring it on, and I'll have my comeback, and it's unscripted. And, you know, that was effective with Daniel Bryan. Miz got all worked up and fought back with Corbin. I thought there were a couple times that it seemed legit that they were getting under each other's skin. And I love that. As long as it's, you know, not going places they shouldn't go, you know, Miz shouldn't be making fun of Corbin saying, you're going to be bald in 3 years, so take that, because that doesn't serve any purpose, and it would be out of bounds. And there's definitely things Corbin could say about Miz that would undercut his character. So you want to get under their skin, but do so in a way that ultimately doesn't demean anybody. It just gets under their skin. And that's, I think, what they were going for in that segment. I thought Miz added to the match with his commentary about Elimination Chamber. He's on a roll. He knows it. And Corbin, I thought, had the best line of the whole exchange, which was after about 2 minutes of Miz talking, and Miz asked him a question, and Corbin just said, "You're still talking?" And the dry delivery and the timing was spot on. You know, he's really good. They're very different personalities. But I actually enjoyed them going at it, and I think it's one of the, you know, selling points for the Rumble is having some personalities in there who normally don't cross paths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was enjoyable. Yes.
All right. I like Corbin
on the microphone.
Yeah, yeah, and body language and demeanor. And I think we got to watch his matches and not just fall back on the conventional wisdom from a year and a half ago that he sucks, because I think he's coming along. And I think that he does what a guy of his size, he's showing progress for a guy that's his size, the style he needs to work. It's not all about planches and being able to do all the moves that AJ Styles does or even Dean Ambrose. You got to carry yourself like a big guy. And I think he gets that in his ring style. Some bigger guys don't get that. Matt Morgan a few weeks ago was on the show and he goes, why do all the little guys get to do all those moves? I want to do some of them. And there's other big wrestlers who strongly disagree with that and think if you're a big wrestler, you shouldn't be doing that. Just like with Kurt Angle, the argument was he shouldn't be doing moonsaults. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He shouldn't be doing, you know, leave the moonsaults to the guys who are smaller and need that to make high impact. Get yourself over doing what your specialty is. Certainly Brock Lesnar has made that, taken that to an extreme, being Mr. Suplex City guy and not much else. And I mean, we could discuss whether that is good for WWE and his matches and the fans, but he's an example of going, yeah, I'm not doing moonsaults anymore or dive through the ring. I've got my niche and I'm going to stick to it. So I respect that Corbin seems to get that or believe in that. And I think he's progressing at a pace that's encouraging as far as that goes. But he's still got to deliver because he's getting pushed ahead of his skill set right now. So he's still got to catch up. Okay, let's go to another call. Let's go to area code 540. 540, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, this is Michael from Northwest Virginia.
Hey, Michael, thanks for calling. What do you got for Pat and me?
I wanted to get your thoughts or maybe just vent a little bit about the WWE's choice to go with Randy Orton as a Rumble winner. If you look back a year ago, with what the wall they were up against and what they faced with all the injuries, it seemed like the road to WrestleMania pretty much fell in place because they only had so much to work with. And this year, it seems like we have so many big names to try to, how are we going to fit them all in where we don't even know or can guess where AJ is going to be. But it seems like the road to, there seemed like some pretty logical places where some people would have fallen. But for some reason, they opted not to go with that and chose to go with a much more clunky path and almost, I would say at this point, seemingly complicate things by choosing Randy as the winner of the Rumble just to get maneuver through these next couple weeks and months. And, you know, just how... just seems like there should have been, there's an easier path to get there, and they're choosing the hardest road possible. I don't know what your thoughts are.
What is the more obvious or smoother, easier path they could have taken? Not disagreeing, just wondering what your idea is of it.
Well, like you have said about the, you don't, I think the other day on your VIP, you said that you didn't see Randy Orton and Bray in the main event, like going on last. Yeah. And with that being said, it almost, I can't remember if you said who you thought, but like what person are they going to put there? I think there were so many other options to have as a Rumble winner. The biggest ones that were discussed, you know, with Taker and maybe even Braun and some of those guys who it would have been, it just seems like a much smoother path than complicating this. Okay, let's put Randy as the winner and put the title on Bray next month. Let's give Cena his win early and do all these things where it seemed like it was a much easier before. And they chose to complicate everything.
Yeah. Pat, your thoughts on the path they're taking and which matches that are being discussed are viable conclusions to WrestleMania that will have the crowd interested and not, you know, packing their stuff up and leaving.
Okay. Well, there's Undertaker and Roman Reigns. There is Seth Rollins and Triple H maybe, Jericho and Owens, if they end up fighting for the Raw title, I mean, Goldberg and Lesnar, those are four right there. I don't think they'll end with Big Show and Shaq.
I think Goldberg-Lesnar probably won't go on last because I think it's going to be a very short match. And I think they want to have – they want to end on a note. I mean, they could. I mean, they could have a six-minute match. The crowd's tired. They're happy to see the match end quickly. They're waiting for it. It's hyped as the biggest attraction. Lesnar gets a win, and the fans go home sad. I just don't see it. I mean, I think that match has to go on earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, not ruling it out, but I would put my money on another one. Owens and Jericho, I don't see either. I don't see that as a viable final match. I don't think that they've treated them seriously enough. They don't have enough gravitas. They've been played for laughs and comedy. And I just don't think Jericho, if he breaks up with Owens and goes face, is going to be a – it just doesn't feel like that's a match that can have that final main event spot. Undertaker, Reigns with or without the title on the line, and maybe Reigns has developed by then, can work. And maybe that will be the final match. Triple H Seth would be kind of eyebrow raising that Triple H manages to talk his way into ending WrestleMania in a non-title match with Undertaker, Brock, Goldberg, Cena all on the show, and he finds a way to end the show again. I think it's risky because I seem to remember Pat last time he tried that it didn't go so well. So I don't see a long list. To me, a really good John Cena match or a really good AJ Styles match are the most, to me, that's the path of least resistance Michael's talking about. Right. You know, two big names, one who's had a hot streak of great pay-per-view matches and another who is, the top star of this era. And Orton Bray just doesn't feel like it yet, but they got 2 months.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think Jericho and Owens right now, I mean, it would be above Bray and Randy. For most people.
Yeah, but isn't that saying much considering how much people are ripping on Bray and Randy as, like, they're not serious, are they? Like, that's not really going to be the main event for the title. I don't think people have gone through the stages of they're not to the stage of acceptance yet that could be the WWE world title match because they haven't spent any time making it seem like Bray and Orton even care about the championship. They still aren't.
Well, it also could be Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin or Randy Orton versus The Miz or Dean Ambrose. I mean, that's, it could.
Those sound
like
SmackDown matches for 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, it could. But the point is, I mean, the reason they're not doing it simply is they have two more pay-per-views between now and WrestleMania, and they want to have lots of twists and turns and keep people guessing.
Yeah. Michael, follow-up. Do you have any follow-up?
I'm just as confused about it as I think everyone is. So I just feel like last year they didn't have much to work with because of the injuries, and this year they have practically everyone, and it seems like they just made it harder, and they have the time to do things, and I guess you're right with the twists and turns. That's all I got on that. I want to know real quick what you feel about Dolph's, the progression that he's going in right now. I kind of watched it through the lens tonight. If I hadn't seen his recent attitude changes, like with Jerry Lawler a couple weeks ago, it seemed like the same old Dolph tonight, just kind of a little more aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're at a point where there's not much more to Dolph, and I don't know that we're going to get it, Pat. I think there's a lane that Dolph drives in, and it crosses the dotted line a little bit into heel, and rubs up against the curb a little bit as a babyface, but there's not a lot of range to that character. And I just think he's going to be a mid-card utility guy who we remember back after the brand split had a chance to shine and yelled and screamed and lost and was written poorly and I think brought the material down another notch with the way he delivered it. And he's going to be the bump-taking healer babyface in the middle of the card as kind of a gatekeeper.
Yeah, I mean, some of what's happened to Dolph is not his fault, but right now the big question for Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania is, do we put him in the multi-person ladder match, or do we put him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right, Henderson from Atlanta, a guy from Atlanta, says, feel free to tell me I'm ridiculous for thinking things work like this in WWE. I feel like Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble is some sort of reward for allowing Lesnar to bust him open at SummerSlam. Thanks for being a good sport. Sorry that was so brutal. Here, take the Royal Rumble. For me, he is on the list of, if he never wrestled again, we'd all be okay with that. Along with, by the way, Kane, Big Show, Sheamus, and Mark Henry. I can't think of any reason why he was a good choice, other than semi-shock value. Randy winning or wrestling anyone at this point is a giant yawn, for me anyway. so much talent to stuff into Mania, and at least three slots are going to be an Orton match, a Shane match, and round three of Goldberg-Lesnar. Yikes. On a positive note, I really enjoyed your Rumble coverage, and you were great on Austin's podcast. Thanks in advance for all the work you'll be doing during Mania season. Yes, by the way, I was on the Steve Austin Show today. You can get that over at Podcast One, or just Google the Steve Austin Show. Don't be confused if you get the explicit version, Unleashed. I'm not on that one. That's the Thursday show. I'm on the Tuesday show, the family-friendly version, even though Austin started swearing during the show. I do not take credit for that or blame. But check it out. Nearly 2 hours of dissecting the Royal Rumble with a conversation focusing on the booking, as we do here at The Torch, but also more so with Steve on some of the little things that wrestlers do and some of the big things that wrestlers do, because talking with Steve from a wrestler's perspective, the conversation kind of goes that way. And it's always fascinating to learn what Steve sees when he watches a big show and his reaction. And I actually think it's an asset that he doesn't watch a lot of the TV shows and comes into it as one of those viewers WWE wants. The people who get the network but don't watch TV, they only have time once or twice a month to watch a pay-per-view, and the video packages that recap everything are for them. And his reaction to the Cruiserweight video package was interesting, and his thoughts on the where characters are now without necessarily watching it happen every week is a real part of their audience right now, and it might become more so as the network subscribing to the WWE network becomes something that that more and more people do who maybe aren't spending 5 hours a week on Mondays and Tuesdays watching the product. So anyway, check that out. Good conversation.
Yeah, say Wade,
as always with Steve.
Say Wade, wasn't Steve Austin on the live cast this past Thursday?
Funny you should mention that, Pat. Yes, Steve Austin was on Interview Thursday last Thursday. 1 hour is available right now at pwtorchlivecast.com, and the second hour is available exclusively for VIP members. And
wow.
we have a sale. So, and that second hour, by the way, the first hour was good. The second hour was great with Steve last week. Some stories I hadn't heard him tell before, and some, I feel he opens up a little bit more on certain things in the Torch setting than he does on his own show. And I think, well, anything with Steve is must listen, talking about the wrestling scene, but that second hour is great. And we also have right now the last 14 years of Royal Rumble roundtables that are available on a special RSS feed we put together. We dusted off and brought forth onto a RSS feed that you can subscribe to on your iPhone or Android device, on your popular podcast apps or iTunes, or just stream them right from our VIP ad-free mobile website. You can listen to the last 14 post-Rumble roundtables, most of which Pat McNeil was part of, all of which I was part of. I remember 1 year I was under the covers with the chills, with the flu, trying to fake my way through it like about 4 years ago, and Pat and Bruce carried it. I always think of that when it's Rumble season, crossing my fingers I don't get deathly ill with a fever the weekend of a big show, and that happened a few years back. But nevertheless, you can go VIP. The sale's expiring pretty quick here because we've been pushing it for a couple weeks. So if you haven't acted or didn't hear about it till now, now's the time to act. The coupon code 2017. So when you go to sign up at pwtorch.com/govip, pwtorch.com/govip. That'll tell you everything about a VIP membership, and it'll also have a link to go to the sign-up form, which, like I said, is mobile-friendly. You can become a VIP member for 99 cents at a stoplight or while you're waiting in line for something, coffee in the morning or waiting for lunch at wherever you're eating lunch. So the coupon code to enter in the coupon code box to take $9.01 off our normal $10 monthly rate is Rumble2017. All one word, no spaces. Rumble2017. And we'd love to have you as a member. And for 99 cents, we'll let you look around and dive into 30 years of archives and all the new content that goes up every week, the new newsletter, the back issues, and so much more. So check it out. It's our sale. It's the best sale we've had in a year and a half. And take advantage of it now. Rumble 2017. You go to pwtorch.com/govip. to sign up. And that second hour of the Steve Austin interview is also worth it, is worth the price of admission, so to speak. Pat, going back to Henderson's email, is this Randy Orton win at the Rumble so head-scratching that we're justified in wondering if either it's part of some larger story that Vince is telling? I wrote this in my SmackDown report tonight on pwtorch.com, that what if Vince booked Randy Orton to lose to Lesnar? And while he did that, and to lose in that fashion, decisively, get beat down, but had in the back of his mind, I'm going to have Randy win the Rumble, win the WWE title at WrestleMania. We're going to push the hell out of him, and then we're going to sell Brock Lesnar becoming number one contender because he beats up Goldberg. Well, he didn't know he was going to beat up Goldberg at the blow-off, but we'll set up Lesnar as this badass who wants the championship again as a guy coming after Randy Orton, and we'll do a rematch. Randy breaks up with Bray, turns babyface, Lesnar on a rampage as a heel. The story is Randy's on a roll, but the last time they met, guess who had whose number? Lesnar had Randy's number. There's no hope, or is there? And they sell SummerSlam a year later on Randy Lesnar. Is there a chance that some sort of master plan that 6 months, 8 months from now would be going, oh, that's what Vince had in mind. Now this all makes sense. Or, not to make my question even longer, but give you a lot to chew on here, is this just a reward to Randy or a make good for Randy because he got concussed or beat up badly with Lesnar? It was pretty brutal. And this is sort of like, well, we got to give Randy something, or maybe he demanded something in exchange for how things went at SummerSlam. Do you buy into that, I guess, conspiracy theory of sorts?
The second conspiracy theory sounds a little more likely than the first, because, you know, if it's a master plan, I don't see where having Brock Lesnar, you know, lose to Bill Goldberg in 90 seconds and then get eliminated by Goldberg in about 2 minutes at the last two major pay-per-views is going to help that. But,
I think he'll beat Goldberg, though. I think he's going to get his revenge and then go on like this tear. I think losing to Goldberg, the idea is it triggered this even deeper, darker, meaner side of Lesnar. I think they can tell that story, but I think that could be part of a master plan. That's my thought, but anyway.
Okay, they just announced on Talking Smack that it will be Alexa Bliss versus Naomi for the women's title at Elimination Chamber.
Who saw that coming? There's a twist. Oh, wait. No, that's exactly.
Yeah, I know. It's really amazing. Or the other conspiracy theory is that Shane McMahon saved a copy of his blackmail material on Vince McMahon and gave it to Randy Orton, and Randy Orton blackmailed Vince McMahon. I'm sorry, that's not possible. That's a television show. That didn't really happen.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds ridiculous. Anderson's like, you know, feel free to tell me I'm ridiculous for thinking things work this way. But there's people who are hinting at that, that, you know, there's something going on here with Randy's push related to how things went at SummerSlam. And so I don't know. To me, Randy's not the type of guy who would say, oh, you want to brutally beat me up and have me job on SummerSlam? Well, as long as you give me a Royal Rumble win, then I'll be happy. Like, I don't think he's kind of – there's guys who I think would negotiate that way or feel like that was payback or make good. I think what Randy would want is 2 weeks off. Like, I think he'd take that before he'd want a title reign at this stage of his career. Randy's a very independent mind. He's an independent spirit. He's behind the scenes, I won't say an agitator because he's a good company guy in a lot of ways, but – he's also the guy who speaks up more privately than, you know, locker room pep talks, but he's a guy who pays attention to what's going on around him and has thoughts and opinions on it. Some guys are just so happy to be there. Randy's not a guy who's just so happy to be here. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Randy's got three generations in this business. He's seen a lot. He's earned his money. So to me, he's not a guy who would say, oh yeah, give me a Rumble win and I'm happy. I think he's a guy who says, give me 3 months off and $1 million. That'll make me happy. But we'll see. I assume this kind of stuff will come out in the wash eventually. All right. Let's go to our next call. Let's go to Aaron in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling, Aaron. What have you got for us?
Hey, gentlemen. How are we tonight?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
We are good.
Good. I have a couple quick topics. One, are they setting up for a tag team elimination chamber match, do you think? Because I think I counted six teams out there, so I really hope they're not doing that again.
God.
Yeah, I hope not.
I will say no, because that would be the dumbest thing they've ever done. I mean, my God, talk about watering down a concept with a bunch of jobbers and jokes. You get joke
gimmicks.
That's
why I think they're going to do it.
Well, I can't.
There's that.
I can laugh, but I can't argue. So, yeah.
I also want to talk about AJ Styles. And what do you think about maybe him and Undertaker working together? I pitched this to you last year, actually, when I called in. And the reason I think that would work is because of AJ's the way he works. I think he's probably the safest to work with Undertaker, because I read that he was coming out of the Rumble kind of banged up. So if they're looking for someone to wrestle him again, or someone for him to wrestle at WrestleMania, I think he would be a perfect opponent. And, I mean, he is a SmackDown guy, too. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Pat?
I mean, that match has actually been talked about. I don't think they would have gone to the trouble of setting up what looked like Undertaker Roman Reigns and possibly Undertaker Bill Goldberg if they were going to do Undertaker at AJ Styles at WrestleMania. But as we have heard on multiple occasions, plans change. So, you know, I don't know how many matches Undertaker has in him. I think that them putting him against Reigns and putting him against Cena are probably a priority down the line. I suspect that Goldberg and Undertaker will be the main event of Fastlane because they'll be looking to add subscribers in March, and that's probably one thing that would push it.
Yeah, Aaron, I don't think it's in the cards this year. I mean, that's my short answer. I mean, even though AJ's kind of wondering what's next for him, I don't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, we have more breaking news.
Yes.
I'm talking smack. Next week on SmackDown Live from Seattle, it will be John Cena versus Randy Orton.
They did actually pretty quickly before the main event announced that on SmackDown tonight.
Oh, well. Okay.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, they confirmed it. It's still on, Pat.
Okay.
You can confirm it's still
good.
On. Yes. Which makes me think they're not doing Cena Randy Orton at WrestleMania, by the way. I was going to add that earlier in the show.
Right.
That sort of gives away, I think, to a semi-savvy viewer of WWE programming that if they are going to, if you were worried about them headlining with Randy against John at Mania, they're announcing it for SmackDown tends to reduce the possibility because WWE doesn't typically give away their WrestleMania main event on a February edition of SmackDown. Aaron, anything else for us?
Yeah, I had one quick comment, and I actually have an idea for a poll for you, but my comment was during the main event tonight, they had a view of everybody at the announce table, and there were 7 people at the announce table tonight, and it was just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and I just had to point that out, and I'm wondering how WrestleMania is going to look with the two brands, if they're just going to do that this year. Maybe they'll just have one giant table with every announcer at it. They can even put the Spanish announce table and just do one long table of everybody sitting together. And I think that would look ridiculous, and it just looked ridiculous tonight. And my poll idea was, I don't know if you ever did this before, but to ask people how they watch WWE, if they watch it live on TV, if they watch their highlights on demand, they watch it on Hulu, how do they watch it? Because you know, I did the Royal Rumble party at my house with a bunch of my friends, and we were talking, and out of 6 of us, only one of us really watches it live anymore, but we all still watch it. And I just think it'd be interesting to see how many people actually still watch it live.
That's a good poll question.
I'll,
if I remember, I'll put that up, and I'll try to remember, because I'm actually curious. I'm curious what the poll results would be among people who visit pwtorch.com. I mean, those are ardent fans, and so, you know, it'd be an interesting to see how they consume the product. Although, Pat, I don't know that necessarily people who visit pwtorch.com are more apt to be watching the show live every week. I think, you know, sometimes you have a different stage of being a fan where you just gobble up the product without, you know, any hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you get to a point where you are more discerning, but you still want to follow the industry and what's happening, but you don't necessarily sit live through all 5 hours. You know, pick and choose depending on the week or the show or the season, and we might get a higher percentage of those people.
Or you write for a popular insider publication, and that's not an option.
Very good. All right, let's go next to air code 562. Thanks for calling 562. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Patrick. I'm from Green Bay, and I really enjoyed the podcast, and this is actually the first time I've actually listened to it live. I've always listened to it the morning after on the treadmill. I just want to ask about, like, what do you think about Baron Corbin, the push he's been making? Because I was really impressed with what he did at the Rumble. That was, like, one of my biggest surprises, the way he eliminated Braun Strowman. I liked the interaction he had with The Miz. And I know he's portrayed as a heel, but he's almost becoming a tweener in a way. What do you think about, like, the way he's being received by the fans? Because I really like Baron Corbin.
I think part of what is appealing about Baron Corbin is he takes it so seriously, and he sort of seems like he's not suffering fools. And when you watch SmackDown and you see the tag division and you have to deal with Miz and his antics, and, I mean, eventually having somebody come out who just seems like they're – an athlete, played in the NFL. They just want to kick ass, win titles, earn their money, and then go out on the town afterwards with their friends. There is something kind of appealing about that because he's not pandering. He's not even like Pat, I can't remember the last guy who, even though obviously he's really trying to get over, his character doesn't look like he cares if anybody's watching the TV show. He's just there to beat people up and win matches. Is that part of what you're getting at? Patrick, is that like one of the reasons you like him, or what is it about him that in particular appeals to you?
He's basically like a no-nonsense guy. That's what I really like about him. He doesn't, like you said, he doesn't suffer fools. But what really got me over was basically the way he impressed me with Royal Rumble. That was one of the most surprising things I saw in Rumble besides Roman Reigns coming in at 30 and Randy Orton winning. I didn't expect Braun Strowman to be eliminated that early. I thought he was going to win. And I'm hoping that's going to be something, like it was said in last night's podcast in Raw, I'm hoping that's going to be used somewhere down the line, the way he eliminated Braun Strowman.
All right, cool. No, I appreciate the comments, and I hope you'll still be on the treadmill tomorrow morning. We got a lot of audio, so. I don't want to ruin your workout by having you listen live, but I hope you'll call again. Pat, your thoughts on Corbin, and is there a babyface appeal to him in maybe a kind of an unexpected 2017 way?
I mean, potentially, because you notice for the Elimination Chamber, they advertised the match has, you know, six guys and two of them are baby faces and four of them are heels. And there's a fifth heel, Randy Orton, who's not in that match. And when you look and when you stack it that way, you start thinking maybe the baby face side needs a little help.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be too soon. To turn Corbin heel, and I want them to try to get him over as a heel, but I understand where Patrick's coming from on that. I mean, I can kind of see why somebody would like him for those reasons. All right, we're getting near the end here, but let's go to 864 is up next, and it looks like it is Corbin from Lakeland, Florida. Corbin, thanks for calling. Speaking of Baron Corbin.
Yeah, sorry, my phone was muted. Hello, guys. I'm assuming you're doing well today.
You still are, yep. Thanks for
having us. Yes, we are, Corbin, yes.
Sorry, I'm just kind of tuning in because I just got off of work. So I just had a question. If you've already talked about it, I apologize. I hate to do that, but
sure.
What does it seem like that they're going to be doing with Cena? Was there any indication of what they're doing with him next month, or...
Yeah, we did discuss that. I mean, we're not sure.
Okay.
that's the short answer. Maybe Fatal 4-Way, maybe something unexpected, maybe something really lame. We're pretty darn sure it's not Cena versus Orton.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And I'm sorry. I try not to.
That's right.
I don't call that much. And so I try not to, I don't know, ask dumb questions.
That's a good question. It's just we already covered it. So you can listen back to the show and hear us scratch our heads, but also speculate and conjecturize for a few minutes.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. No need if that's what you want to talk about. No need to make up another question on the spot. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick in New Jersey. Patrick, is this you?
Yes, Wade. How you doing? How you doing, Pat?
Doing great. What have you got?
Good.
A couple quick points. Did you guys see the WrestleMania Dallas documentary after Raw?
No, I didn't.
I'm a little more than halfway through it. It's pretty good so far.
I was just going to say, I highly recommend it. It was really good. Start to finish, really good. I don't think they should have teased clips of Charlotte making her look like a face on Raw to promote it, but it was really, really good. That's one point I wanted to make. As far as JBL is concerned, do you notice this trend with him making fun of people with blue, like blue meaning he attacks a woman in blue? It just seems like he's got this thing with blue. I'm just making an observation.
Yet he's on the SmackDown
like,
brand. It's self-loathing.
It really is. But I had to go there. I apologize. Two quick points. It's not like in history they haven't had people scheduled in the Elimination Chamber be switched last minute. They've done it with Punk and Edge. Couldn't they? I mean, I know you're probably going to say notice, But couldn't they slip The Undertaker in that match and wind up having him in the main event against Orton at WrestleMania? Wouldn't that give it more pizzazz, like legend killer? Just wouldn't that automatically put it as a match? I know The Undertaker's towards the end of his run, so to speak, but wouldn't that be a match that people could conceivably say, yeah, I could see that at last, even if it's not?
Pat?
I could see it happening. I know that they had a lengthy feud before, but I mean, they could do it. There's nothing that I saw, though, either Sunday night or today that would lead me to that.
I think that...
Yeah, no, I just have one more quick question.
Yeah, let me answer the... Let me add to the Undertaker thing, because I think Vince McMahon really, really, really wants Roman Reigns to be in the ring against Undertaker. I think that he wants Reigns to have that moment. He doesn't know how many matches Undertaker has left, and I don't think he wants to put Undertaker at risk in an Elimination Chamber match or any other match. I think Taker looked brittle and fragile and old in the Rumble. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it because I'm not on payroll, and it's not my job to mask what looked like an Undertaker who is his age. With the beating and mileage on his body, they're going to be real careful what they do with Undertaker. And putting him in the chamber as a late replacement or you know, I mean, they've only got 1 week left. I just don't see it for that reason also. It's not going to happen. Vince, right now, everything about Vince goes filtered through what's good to get Roman Reigns over. And he wants Reigns to have a WrestleMania moment with Taker. And that's, I'm almost positive where we're headed.
Okay. Now, the last thing I just wanted to say is, first of all, and I always say this to you, but I have to reiterate it, your VIP hotline, your VIP subscription is the best thing anybody can get. I've gone back and forth with you on Twitter about this, with as far as like the old Mitchell article he did, and that's what the question I had to ask you about, because there's been a debate about this. He wrote an article about the Real Wrestling Hotline, you know, when he went after Meltzer about it, when Meltzer did the real Wrestling Hotline. I had to ask you a specific question about that, if you can answer this, because I asked Jim Cornette this, like, on Twitter, and he denied it, but didn't Jim Herd financially invest and or own that hotline? It was independent of WCW, and Jim Cornette had an SMW line or aspect to it, and it was after his appearance in WCW, correct?
I don't think Jim Herd. I don't remember Jim Herd being invested in that.
That was the article. Bruce.
Well, Patrick. So we don't talk over you. Let me ask my question. I'll talk over you just so that I'm asked the question. That's okay. I haven't read the article in years. So maybe you have more facts on it. Did Bruce say in the article that Jim Herd had investment in it?
Yeah, I believe it was $300,000. Actually, was the number. It was like issue 230 or 242. It was one of those issues. But I tweeted you about it. I mean,
I asked Bruce.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead. We got a little delay.
It just drove me crazy, because I was like, wow, I never knew this. And just here's the irony of this. This is why I keep saying why your VIP in general is great. I wouldn't have even known about that article until I listened to one of your old Pro Wrestling Focus shows where it was referenced. That's what made me go to the article. So I was listening to the old retro radio, and that's what made me look it up, because I was like, I never knew this story. So that's what I'm just telling everybody. They have to get your VIP. They should listen to the retro radio, and I always say Pro Wrestling Spotlight, but your Pro Wrestling Focus was phenomenal as well. But that's what made me look into this in the first place.
I appreciate you bringing it up. I mean, I know that Bruce and Dave were friends then, have remained friends, and it was a moment in time that Bruce felt strongly about with the headline to the article, "An Observer No More," in that Dave was participating in a financially in a project that had financial involvement with people in the wrestling business who he was covering. And it was something that Dave had worked really hard to keep himself out of and avoid any perceived conflicts of interest, especially after the WWF thing that affected him, and he still answers to and says was a mistake. So, Bruce is great. He writes great columns. He doesn't exclude who he writes about if he feels strongly about something. And I think that's one of the reasons Dave remains good friends with Bruce to this day, is you know you're getting the truth with Bruce, and you know he's going to think it through and do his best to be fair, but he's certainly not going to go easy on you if he respects you in a lot of other ways, if he thinks that you make the wrong move, whether you're in the wrestling business or like Dave in that situation, crossing into it in a way that might conflict with the objectivity and credibility and distance that someone in his spot benefits from.
Yeah, if there's any way possible, even if you could just do it on Twitter, because I know you recognize my tweet, you said that.
Yeah.
If you could just verify the Cornette aspect of it, because that was in the article, and Cornette said it was only WCW, but that wasn't the WCW hotline. But just the punchline to this is, when I had tweeted you and Bruce about it, I said,
yeah,
Bruce, what happened to this? And Bruce said, I worked for it. And I was like, Bruce works for that hotline too? That didn't make sense to me. I don't know if he's really just being sarcastic or not, but he actually said he worked for the hotline himself.
No. I think, bringing the column up, it's in issue number 280, if anybody wants to look it up in the Bruce Mitchell archives. And I'm not going to try to even summarize here on the show, especially a SmackDown post show, all the things that, that are in this, that Bruce put a lot of thought and a lot of time into stone cutting into his column, but you certainly can check it out. And I know that, he wrote that that I was approached to be part of the hotline. And, it was during a phone conversation with Dave Meltzer, he told me I would be getting a phone call from Jim Herd, who was starting a 900 line, and that Herd wanted Dave and me to be part of it. So, yeah, 100% that's true. I just hadn't thought about that in a long time. But that's me 25 years ago saying so at the time. So there we have it. I think
It was just the Cornette aspect. I was just trying to verify that because, like I said, I loved what you said about it because you also said because of the competition between you and Meltzer at the time you wanted to be separate for obvious reasons. I mean, you were two different, you support each other, but you want to be separate entities.
Right.
But it was just the Cornette was vehemently denying that he was a part of it. But I read your article and I'm like, did something change from that article? Because I never saw a follow-up. Wasn't a part of it. That's why.
There was no correction issued. In fact, there's a quote in the article from Dave telling Bruce, I had preliminary discussions with Jim Herd where I threw out some names. And so, yeah, 100% that Jim Herd was involved in that.
But with Jim Cornette was the crosses I was trying to find out from you. That's all. That was one of the best articles. I encourage everybody to go back and read it because it was one of the best things I ever saw Bruce Mitchell write. And I know he's done a lot of good things since, but it was really good.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I can see why you would want to talk about it. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. And Patrick, if I didn't address your questions properly, because I'm in SmackDown mode and I would have liked to have read this article before we talked about it to refresh my memory, because I'm now half distracted wanting to reread it because I remember it being very good at the time. Feel free to email me or call back on another show and we can discuss it some more too if I did not do a good job covering your questions here. Anyway, with that bit of a detour, if you're still on hold, we didn't get to you. Call us tomorrow on the midweek flagship if you can, or email your question to me now and we'll cover it on the midweek flagship. And same for those emails we didn't get to during the show today. We got a lot of emails stacked up for tomorrow's show already, and a few of them we didn't get to that were specific to SmackDown. I'll try to cover with Jason tomorrow on the live cast. Pat, any closing thoughts from you on tonight's show that we any topics we didn't get to?
Let's see. I like what they're doing with the women's division. James Ellsworth's outfit was something kind of amazing, I think.
It was, yeah. The Luke Harper, Bray Wyatt, Orton dynamic. Any thumbs up to how they're kind of playing that out? And you know, Harper seems to have turned babyface. He's teaming with Cena. He's beating up Orton, but he's still hesitant to go after Bray. And I kind of like what they did with that.
Yeah, it put a little depth in there, I'm half expecting Eric Rowan's ready to come back, and that would add another layer to it.
That's true. Yeah, that would. And maybe Eric Rowan is going to be John Cena's opponent at WrestleMania, or AJ Styles' opponent. That's the X factor
we
didn't talk about.
Eric did wrestle. Eric did wrestle The Rock last year at WrestleMania, so he's got that. he knows how to do big matches.
Yes, he does. All right, very good. Pat, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll
You're
talk
welcome,
to you next
Wade.
Time on the show, probably next week sometime. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to our callers. And go check out Pat McNeil and Greg Parks on the Royal Rumble post show from Sunday night. Well over an hour of analysis and phone calls from them. Last night, I hosted the Raw post show. You can check that out also at pwtorchlivecast.com. Tomorrow, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net at 1 Eastern. And then Drew Galloway at 1 Eastern on Thursday. He will be on to talk about a wide array of topics. Of course, formerly Drew McIntyre from Vince's personal choice back in the brand split era. Seems like many eras ago by this point, and he's still got a big future ahead of him and still young, but man, it seems like he's been around for a while too. So much has happened since he was in that role. So yeah, that'll do it for me. Go sign up for VIP. You hear endorsements. There's all kinds of hidden treasures that come in with a VIP membership that are you'll lose yourself as a fan, just fascinated. I know what I was like the first time I got a wrestling newsletter in the mail in early 1987, and I read Wrestling Forum over and over and over and over and over again and could get enough of it, just learning so much about the business. And you can pick the era that you became a fan or an era that fascinates you even before you were a fan and read the Torch coverage and listen to podcasts from that era or retro radio shows we put up era. Speaking of which, here is a commercial talking about those retro radio shows that are a VIP exclusive that we put up every Thursday night. And we've got dozens and dozens of them already, actually over 100 retro radio shows on demand, with more being added that haven't been heard since they aired originally in the 90s or the Attitude Era, every Thursday night. So go VIP for 99 cents, the coupon code for the final time, Rumble 2017. Act now, this offer is expiring very soon. Rumble 2017 over at pwtorch.com/goVIP. As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/goVIP is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday morning wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. All right, thanks everybody. Follow me on Twitter at The Wade Keller. Follow me or follow our brand at PW Torch, and follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PWTorch. Thanks, everybody. And until tomorrow, Wade Keller signing off.
Now I can't.